In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, April 14th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A Nigerian pastor spoke to 35 members of the UK Parliament yesterday on behalf of persecuted Christians in Nigeria. Open Doors reports that they are calling for more religious liberty for Christians in the north. They are pressuring the UK government to investigate the wholesale destruction of life and property at the hands of Boko Haram and other militant Muslims. Pray for the brothers and sisters in Nigeria. In Paul's words, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus." 2 Corinthians 4, 8-12. The Word of God endures forever, and 50 new translations of the Bible were just released last year. As of 2016, the full Bible is now available in 563 languages, reaching almost 5.1 billion people. Just 1 week after Santa Clara Church in Bekasi, Indonesia opened, Islamists closed it down. The Muslims are claiming that the church near Jakarta had used false identity cards to purchase the property. City officials insist that the church had fulfilled all of its legal requirements for building the church. The Asian Human Rights Commission is also appealing the case to top Indonesian leaders. Death penalty executions worldwide are up 50% over the year before, and they have tripled since 2005. 15,000 people were executed by governments last year out of 600,000 homicides committed. That's about 2% of murderers who are brought to justice. Genesis 9:6 says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." The South African Parliament failed to impeach President Jacob Zuma last week. The polygamous leader of this beleaguered nation has failed to pay back $23 million of government funds used to build his own private home. It may have been a symbol of the spiritual weakness for the nation. United Cry's Sacred Assembly in Washington, D.C. targeted 30,000 pastors, but ended up with only a couple hundred people gathering in the rain by the Lincoln Memorial over the weekend. It was a time set aside for prayer and humiliation. Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council told the crowd, quote, "What America needs today is not a fear of man, but a fear of God," unquote. A new National Geographic program, The Story of God with Morgan Freeman, had 3.5 million views on its premiere last week. The show was the fourth most popular production in National Geographic's history. Freeman travels the world seeking the mysteries of faith. Acts 17 says that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Sesame Street has just brought in its first official hijab-wearing Muppet. The Muppet's name is Zari, a girl from Afghanistan. Reuters reported that the Muppet is an attempt to promote women empowerment and education, two commodities which were not available to Afghan women 15 years ago. No word yet as to whether or not Sesame Street will introduce a Christian Muppet. The planet Pluto is baffling scientists. NASA's New Horizons spacecraft flew by the planet last July, and scientists cannot understand how such a small planet with slight mass holds an atmosphere for billions of years. Dr. Robert Carter from Creation Ministries International told The Worldview that the old age of the solar system is challenged every time we learn more about it.
Pluto was one of the greatest examples of something that cannot easily be explained with an old age model. There are too many features on Pluto that appear to be young that it can't be explained easily at all by appealing to anything greater than millions of years old, let alone billions of years old.
God asks Job in Job 38:4, Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. A large octopus has escaped from New Zealand's National Aquarium. Inky the octopus made his way out of his tank and worked his way across the floor to a 6-inch drain. From there, he made his way back to the Pacific Ocean. The aquarium manager said he didn't even leave a message. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Thursday, April 14th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Plains, Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with us today as we talk worldviews and the impossibility of neutrality, which is putting the public schools in Switzerland and Colorado in a bind. And let me give you a couple of examples of this. Bill just brought this to my attention this morning. Apparently, the Swiss government has just given Switzerland schools the opt-out for Muslim kids who don't want to shake hands with their female teachers. Now, what we have here is a collision between several worldviews. The Muslims have their sort of anti-egalitarian worldview that certainly has nothing to share with a Christian worldview, because under a Muslim worldview, women are second-class citizens and their perspective is not given equal weight with a man's perspective in a civil court, something that the Word of God, that is a biblical worldview, would not bear out. So the Christian view on gender and the Islamic view on gender clash in Switzerland. So now they want to give them the opt-out. Now this makes it difficult because this means that multiculturalism is clashing with secularism and egalitarianism, and that's just not going to work out that well for these secular schools in Switzerland or anywhere else in the Western world for that matter. So, Bill, it's kind of funny. It's almost like the snake is eating its own tail. It's consuming itself here.
It is. And, you know, I would say it's not two worldviews. It's within a worldview. It's the inconsistency of a secular worldview that's being exposed here, because a secular worldview says we value multiculturalism, right? We value all cultures equally and all of their idiosyncrasies, if you will, all of their unusual habits. We will say they're all equal. You cannot judge.
But ours is more equal than theirs.
So. Yes. Some pigs are more equal than other pigs.
Yeah, that's the bind they find themselves in Switzerland. Well, we're certainly seeing that everywhere. Another story out here in the state of Colorado where Montview preschools are trying to teach the gay ideology and the appropriateness of homosexual weddings. Now, I've made this point before that if the Supreme Court of the United States is going to declare that the proton no longer exists in the atom, the first question people ask is, what did the Supreme Court of the United States have to do with chemistry? And do they really have the right to make that proclamation and impose that view on every single person in the country? You know, that's the first question, is I didn't think they were scientists. I didn't think they really had the jurisdiction to declare that the proton no longer existed in the atom. And this is certainly a fundamental thing. But if they make that proclamation, would that affect every single chemistry textbook in every private and public school in the United States of America? And the answer would be yes. You'd have to republish. You'd have to retrain. You'd have to impose that view on every single school in America. Well, something similar has happened when the Supreme Court of the United States decided that they're going to declare and define the family in a different way for the first time in all of human history. And they did that back in June. Now, again, people can ask the question, I didn't think the Supreme Court of the United States really had the jurisdiction to declare there was no proton. Well, apparently they say they do. So.
Because they ruled, was it 5-4 that they're God?
Yeah. So if that be the case, do you think that's going to affect every preschool in the United States of America and the state of Colorado?
Yes.
Of course it will.
And not only just public, private preschools. This Montview school is a private parent-run preschool, and the parent who objected to this being taught to her child, the family was ejected from the co-op.
Well, it's called an anti-bias curriculum, and apparently it's increasingly popular in schools around the state of Colorado and throughout the United States of America. And this parent who apparently was not happy with her four-year-old being taught the official doctrinaire that's been handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States, the four-year-old was kicked out of the school. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now, it's interesting because Bethy Leonardi, a professor for future teachers at the University of Colorado Boulder, is also the co-founder of the university's initiative, quote, a queer endeavor, end quote. And her goal is to train teachers, and she's trained them, thousands of teachers over the past few years. And here's what she says about this, the need to train little kids about same-sex marriage. Quote, we've seen really heartbreaking data that suggests these conversations need to happen, and they need to happen early in schools. The question that we seem to get asked a lot is, why do this? Why so young? Is it appropriate? It's not an agenda. We're not telling people what to think. We're saying gay people exist. There are families with two moms. Some kids don't identify in the binary. That's it. End quote.
Now, we need to talk about doublespeak for a moment. What you're saying is we're not telling people what to think. We're just telling them what to think.
What to think. Yeah. We're not telling people what to think. We're just telling their kids what to think.
Yeah, and we want to be sure that they're adequately educated in matters such as pigs having wings and other beautiful things. Well, be back in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack in studio today. We talk about multiculturalism and worldview clash. Be back in just a moment.
Does it seem like your family is getting pulled 100 directions? Is a crazy schedule and a hostile but enticing culture making it hard to stay connected to your kids? Join families from across the country for the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati on August 19th and 20th. Based on lessons from the life of Noah, the Noah Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, the Benham Brothers and their father Flip, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, you'll receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation. Go to noahconference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's noahconference.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson is with you today as we talk about multiculturalism and what the schools in Switzerland and the United States are doing. And now we want to go to San Francisco Bay Area, in which the San Ramon Junior High School is incorporating an entire week for LGBTQ education and LGBTQ acceptance. This is San Ramon High School, reported on by KGO and ABC News. And evidently, 20 concerned parents, that's not very many, actually, if you think about it, Bill.
No.
My guess is probably close to 500-700 families involved here. But 20 concerned parents have met with the San Ramon Valley School District superintendent. They're asking that this LGBTQ Appreciation Week be canceled. The principal at Windermere Ranch Middle School in San Ramon said, ain't going to happen. And so they're going to go ahead and pull this thing off. And they will allow an opt-out. The school district says parents can't always have their kids opt out of a lesson they don't agree with. Now, let's talk about opting out, because I think that is going to be a halfway measure for at least a year or two as LGBTQ education is mandated across all 50 states because you've got to get on board with what the Supreme Court of the United States has incorporated and defined for the family in America from here on out. You've got to be sure that your educational facilities are in step with the law of the land. If they're not, they will be closed down.
They will lose money.
Oh, yeah, they'll do that. And I believe this will affect private and Christian colleges and Christian schools as well. However, this whole opt-out business is a means by which kids will be ostracized. Remember, if there's, you know, 15 kids standing outside in the breezeway when the other 600 kids are in step with the moralisms of the day, accepting the latest pigs have wings, other beautiful things, doctrine they are taught in these schools, and you've got the 15 outside saying, I don't think that the pigs have wings and other beautiful things. They're probably going to be ostracized. They will be considered biased and prejudiced, and there will be a black mark on their heads for the rest of their tenure at those schools.
This has been a ploy by the public schools forever, okay? I mean, it's a ploy that they instituted back when sex education in general was a hot topic, and many parents said, you know, it's not your responsibility to teach my kids about the mechanics of sex because you cannot divorce the mechanics from the morality. And you refuse to teach the morality, so we are not happy with the schools teaching sex education in general. And the school said, okay, you can opt out. You can opt your student out. Rather than saying to all the parents, if this program is going to go, we want parents to get behind it, so we want you to opt in rather than opt out. Because if you have to opt in, that means parents have to deliberately sign up their students. They have to know for which they're signing up their students, the courses that they're having their students take. And it's much easier to not have to do that. So it's hard to do the opt in or the opt out.
And one of the solutions to this problem, whether it be Switzerland, San Francisco Bay, or Denver, Colorado, one of the very best ways to resolve this great conundrum between multiculturalism and statism is to eliminate the public schools and completely privatize parental decisions when it comes to the education of their children. And I would recommend to you verses like Deuteronomy 6:7, Ephesians 6:4, and other verses which place the responsibility and the rights of the education of children squarely in the laps of parents. That would be a great way. In fact, I think God's law, that is God's way of life, found in the Word of God, is the very best way to balance all of this out, friends, between the one and the many, the one intent of centralized state and the liberties and multicultural choices that are available to the populace. God's word is the best way to do it. And once you centralize power and create these public schools and try to somehow encourage polytheism and statism at the same time, it creates such a tension it's impossible to maintain, and eventually the whole thing goes up in smoke. So the recommendation, you say, well, how in the world do you resolve the tension? The answer is very, very simple, friends.
Eliminate the tension by eliminating the public schools.
There you go.
There you go.
Suddenly the whole thing goes away, and now it's just parents trying to decide whether or not the kids will shake the hands of the teacher or not.
Yeah. They're not public schools, are they? They're state schools. They're status schools. They're not public because you can't walk on the campus and preach the gospel. You can't walk on to campus and go into a sex ed course and say, hey, boys and girls, hey, preschoolers, the Bible has something to say about this. You can't do that. It's not public. My student isn't public. My student isn't public. My child is private. And it is my responsibility as a parent to raise him up in the ways of the Lord, in the nurture of the Lord.
Bill, the LGBTQ Acceptance Week is really an attempt to establish a moralism or a system of life, a form of character training. It really is. Now, it doesn't really subscribe to our worldview.
It's not our character training. But 90% of education is character training, and you've hit on something. They are changing the character of the nation.
Right.
by training our students.
Right, and we would say they're destroying the nation because they picked the wrong worldview. But anyway, that's beside the point for this. What they're trying to do is they're trying to establish some kind of character and a way in which the kids get along with each other, and they don't want people bullying in the schools. So let's, you know, grant that as we discuss the LGBTQ Acceptance Week in the San Ramon Junior High Schools. They're trying to eliminate bullying or persecution of the homosexual junior high kids, the homosexual 12 and 13 year olds attending the schools. Now, as we even mention these things, I'm sure some of our listening audience is just utterly horrified to think about what has happened to the nation. But all that aside, the bottom line, my friends, is that there are people in these schools that need Jesus, and they need Jesus badly. That's the point, of course, that, again, the school district is probably not going to recognize and not going to want to bring in the local evangelical pastors to, you know, bring these kids to Jesus. But as Christian kids attending schools, we're not necessarily encouraging that. But let's say there were Christian schools, Christian kids attending these schools in San Ramon Junior High Schools, and they were opting out of these classes. Bottom line is, what would you want Christian teachers / Christian kids doing with homosexuality in the public schools, whether it be a junior high school, a high school, or a college? Well, number one, you have a college kid attending a secular college running into homosexual students. We don't want any bullying. We don't want any of this persecution, but we do want the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're going to have to deal with sin. They're going to have to evangelize others who are sinners. And I realize that the Supreme Court of the United States have basically said, here's a sin that's not a sin, and there's a class of people that don't need Jesus. They don't need Jesus' blood and righteousness covering them and dealing with their sin and saving them from their sins. The Supreme Court of the United States is doing its best to say, kind of opt people out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's really what's happened.
Right.
But as Christians, Christian students, Christian teachers that interact with these, I think we need to remind them and all others that we have a problem of sin. There's sinner A, sinner B, sinner C, and sinner D. We have problems with homosexuality, fornication, lying, and all these other sins, and all of us are in need of the salvation that only Jesus Christ can bring to us. Bill, I think that's the message, but that's not the message that is going to be mentioned even once in LGBTQ Acceptance Week in San Ramon Junior High Schools. I guarantee you that.
No, it will not be the message. And when you stand up and say that you need Jesus, that is hate speech.
Probably, yes. Probably.
It will now be interpreted as being hate speech because you are intolerant of sin. Mm. Which has now been redefined as an alternative lifestyle. And so if you speak against somebody's lifestyle, then you're a bigot. You're a close-minded religious bigot.
Before we're done today, Bill, I want to bring up one more story that's very interesting. I think it somewhat ties into this. It's certainly happening in the San Francisco Bay Area as well. A story that came across my desk a couple days ago. And apparently now there are cities, including San Francisco, paying criminals not to kill. So we have character issues in San Ramon Junior High Schools in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we apparently have character issues on the streets of San Francisco as well.
Is my check in the mail?
No, well, not yet. But yeah, they're paying criminals as much as $1,000 a month not to commit another gun crime. Here's a guy, Lonnie Holmes, 21 years of age, considered to be the next person to kill or be killed in this working-class suburb north of San Francisco. Four of his cousins had died in shootings. He is a passenger in a car involved in a drive-by shooting, et cetera, et cetera. So they're paying this guy $1,000 a month to not kill anybody.
Can I sign up for that program? It's tax season. I got taxes. I got expenses here.
Bill,
I got to buy ammo.
Bill, if anything, this demonstrates the confusion, the utter confusion, the contradiction in the mind of the secularist. He has no idea how to deal with sin and crime. Just no idea. Now, I would recommend the Word of God. The Word of God does not recommend paying criminals not to commit crime.
It recommends paying them with justice.
Yeah. Now, as the criminal problem gets worse, I think the civil magistrate has several choices. One, you could pay more money for police officers. That'd be about $60,000 a year, my guess, in the city of San Francisco. So you could hire more police officers at $60,000 a year, or pay the criminals not to commit crimes. So you could pay five criminals $1,000 a month for what you would pay for a single police officer. So you can see there's a little bit of cost-benefit analysis going on here.
Yeah.
And so I understand the tension that goes on. Now, we believe there are some better options here. And I'm not sure the city of San Francisco would listen to this radio program, but if there's any city council members of the city of San Francisco tuning into this program right now, I would recommend two things. Okay, Bill? You ready?
Okay, I'm calculating my income from these. But go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah.
The first thing is I would recommend God's law, severe penalties for severe crimes, execution and restitution. See, according to God's law, execution is appropriate for severe crime, especially for the crime of murder or homicide or first or second degree manslaughter, where a murder is committed in the midst of a crime. So the word of God is pretty clear that, yeah, the civil magistrate is the minister of God and he is supposed to use the sword. That's clear. That part is clear. But also restitution. According to God's law, you don't pay the criminals. The criminals pay the victims. Now, I know that sounds crazy.
That's nuts.
That's just crazy.
That is archaic.
Yeah.
That's just outmoded.
It's stupid. It's irrational in the mind of the modern irrationalist.
Come on now, Kevin. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Trust me here on this, Bill. It's let him who stole steal no more. Okay, get it?
Okay.
But
well,
let him work with his hands.
Oh.
So he can pay him who is in need. And you'll find the same principle in the Old Testament as well. So Old New Testament, restitution is the way, as is execution for the sake of severe crimes. Okay, so the Word of God is the wisdom of God, and I'd recommend it to you because God knows more about crime and how to deal with crime than the city of San Francisco. But even better, here's the second thing, Bill. I would recommend the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got a crime problem in this city of San Francisco. Here's what you do. The churches come together, and they begin to preach the Word of God and pray for God's work of revival in the hearts of people on the streets of San Francisco. And I don't think LGBTQ character classes in the junior high schools is really going to cut it for dealing with the sin issue in the city of San Francisco. You're going to need to preach the gospel. You really need people to turn people to the Word of God and to Jesus who came to save us from our sins. Because, see, what we're saying, Bill, is that we got to work the fundamental issue. We got to work the heart issue. We got to see regeneration. Without regeneration, without this powerful work of God and the gospel, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ working the lives of individuals, you're not going to see anything of a transformation of a society. Now, I don't believe that every single person has to get saved in an entire city or entire nation in order to make a difference. But I do think that if you begin to see, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20% of the population turning to Jesus, a profound difference will happen in that community.
That's what happens with a little salt and a little light. It dispels the darkness and it preserves the culture. And you know what we're talking about here, Kevin, is secularism in general. Secularism is that snake that's been eating itself, okay? It's eating its own tail. And what secularism says is that government is your daddy. And government is your provider. And what we say is, no, the individual does not look to government to solve problems. It does not look to government to provide. It looks to God. The individual looks to the Creator. It's because of the Creator that we can be fruitful and multiply and provide for our families. It's because of the Creator that we can administer justice. It's because of the Creator who is unchanging, never failing, always just, and always merciful.
Well, my friends, as we face the future of this nation, I think we're going to see more anarchy and, of course, more tyranny. That means more big government breaking God's law with impunity and more of the individual anarchy breaking God's law on the individual level. These things play off on each other, and I think we're going to see more of this, and we're going to see the clash of multiculturalism against the attempt to raise up the modern state. So these things are going to continue until there's more confusion and more chaos in society, unless we see something of a reformation and of true faith happening across this country. Grab a copy of my book, Freedom, to understand more about how the gospel of Jesus Christ works and how inevitably it has led to freedom in the Western world. The Western world has been the paradigm of liberty and freedom over the last 800 years. And you ask, why has God blessed the Western world with this liberty? Grab a copy of my book, Freedom, and learn the story. And also develop a biblical defense for freedom for yourself and for your children. Check it out at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. That's the book Freedom, available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.